You are listening to the Stillbirth Matters podcast, presented by the Star Legacy Foundation, a national nonprofit founded on the belief that every pregnancy deserves a happy ending. Visit us online at starlegacyfoundation.org.
In many situations, Denise is the first person to really reach out and ask to hear their story. She's talked to hundreds, if not thousands, of families, and I think she has a lot to tell us about what the status of pregnancy and infant loss is and what we can learn from all of these families. Denise, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, it's good to be here.
So can you start by just describing a little bit about your role and what you do through this program?
So my role is family support specialist with the project of Star Legacy called the Minnesota Center for Stillbirth and Infant Death. So Star Legacy has a contract with the Minnesota Department of Health to reach out to all families in Minnesota that have experienced a stillbirth or the death of a baby up to 1 year of age. And we send them a sympathy card and a letter initially, and then I follow up with a phone call within 7 days of that. So my goal when I'm calling those families is just to let them know, number one, that they're not alone, that, you know, we all extend my sympathy to them, and then to share resources with them that might be helpful for them in whatever situation they're in. So I'm kind of, if they're willing to share with me, I try to get an idea of what their needs might be. So.
And what are some of the needs in very general terms? What are the most common things that the families find that would be helpful?
Emotional support is probably the first thing that they are thinking about, followed closely by financial needs, because maybe they've had trouble paying for the funeral, or they need to, in order to get their baby released, they need to come up with enough money to pay for that, or maybe a headstone. So those two are probably top of need consistently. So
one of the things when we first started doing this program is that we wondered and we worried that some people may not want to be sharing their story with a stranger, which is obviously very understandable. And so trying to walk that balance between offering the support that we can have and maybe trying to be that central place of resources, but also respecting their privacy, but then also letting them know that they aren't alone and that there's somebody that's willing to hear their story. How have you managed to navigate all of those different and sometimes conflicting needs and feelings that the families may be having?
And I do hear the whole array of those feelings from people that don't want to really talk about it or are suspicious of who we are, that we might be a telemarker, all the way to, I read your letter. I've been waiting for your phone call. Thank you for reaching out to us. I think the most important thing is to just, I give them the opportunity to tell me about their baby. And that's kind of where I start is, you know, how are you today? And if you're willing, you know, tell me about, and then name their baby. And then let them kind of take the lead on that. And if they don't want to talk about it, they'll very clearly tell me that up front. But often just that segue of, you know, tell me about your baby is enough to let them open up. And I hear from moms that say, you know, nobody's asked me for a while about my baby. So, yeah, I do hear the majority want to talk about it. there, and I have to respect those that don't. And there are some of those too that just don't want to talk about it. It's too hard, maybe, or too emotional.
Sure. And I'm sure through the stories that you hear, you've heard the good side of things that are happening for families that are helping them really, you know, maybe cope in a healthy and positive way. And you probably hear some of the not so good as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's, I do hear probably more often they're willing to tell me if it didn't go well. That's probably when they need to talk about that, because they have concerns about that, but also hear when it's gone very, very well and that they've been really well cared for from the time they found out the baby had passed to, you know, the funeral or whatever. But we can learn some things from these lost parents about how to move forward, how to treat them, how to do better, you know, because we can constantly, I think, do better.
So what are some of those things that you think we should learn from these families?
I think that giving them resources right up front is important. They may or may not be ready to hear about it at that point, but I think they need to know, or at least give them a direction to go. I had a family recently that just felt like they were let down from the very beginning all the way through to the funeral service. And she said nobody wanted to take responsibility for giving us information. They all wanted to pass the buck. And I think that's, sometimes we just have to stay present with these families. We don't always have to have the answers. I think that's what people are afraid of, is I don't know what to say. I don't know what to tell them. But just being present with them, listening to them, not trying to fix anything, but just walking beside them, I think is really important.
Well, I think that's really, you know, powerful, because it does go against the nature of most of us in our society, but particularly those that are in service or caregiving roles, because we want to be able to fix it, or we want to be able to say or do something that is going to make things better. And accepting that that you can't make it better is really challenging.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think you're exactly right. I mean, especially if you're in the hospital, in that healthcare setting, you know, their whole business is about making people better. And in these grief bereavement situations, that's not always possible. So I think it'd be helpful. I think people need access to bereavement kinds of things early on. Sometimes I think it's, by the time I talk to them, even though it's probably 2 to 3 weeks after the death of their baby, sometimes I feel like it's almost too late, that we've missed some things in there. And then there are other families where it's like, they don't call me back. They know I've called, they've heard my message, they've seen my text message, but they just weren't ready to talk at that time. And then 3 months later, even 6 months later, I'm hearing back from them and saying, you know, I'm ready to listen now. I just wasn't able to, I didn't have the bandwidth to listen to what you had to say at that point. I just got an email last week from a mom who said, can you treat me like I'm a new lost mom and go back to square one and tell me everything again? So,
yeah, I think that's a really important point, and hopefully something that this program is trying to improve about care in general, because we do know that even those that have phenomenal care in those acute moments, that their journey is just beginning, and everyone is going to have a different trajectory. And so one of our goals with this program is to be that continuity, that source of continuity, or that source of support, even those months later. And I think that's really wonderful that you're seeing some of that actually play out in that way. And it's a good reminder to all of us that when the funeral is over, or whatever time frame we may feel kind of puts the bookend on the experience, that really is not the end.
No, everybody's grief journey is very different. And it certainly, you can't get over it. And if I think I feel like I've had some success when somebody will say to me, I'm going to save your number in my phone, you know, because then, you know, they can, and I tell them to reach back out anytime, you know, we're going to walk beside you in any way we can. And we know grief doesn't have any timeline, and it's different for everybody. So, yeah, that's spin.
Another goal of this project has been to make sure that the whole family has the opportunity to access resources and feel the support that they might need for somewhat obvious reasons. In the healthcare setting, the moms tend to be the focus. But we know that you talk to families a lot about the dads or partners, grandparents, siblings, and other extended family or anyone else who may be in the home and really impacted. And do you feel like it's, what can we learn from your interactions with those family members?
Yeah, some of the best conversations I think I've had have been when mom and dad or both parents are on the phone together with me. Because then, you know, I don't know, it's just, you get a more rounded picture of what's happening, and they are trying to, you know, walk through this together and seek out services together. And kids too, when there are older siblings that are affected by this, I think, you know, we've had some success in finding resources for those kids. And I think having, you know, we're so fortunate to be able to have a child life specialist on staff at Star Legacy Foundation, who, if she doesn't know the resources, can find them for the family. So I think that's really powerful. And then on the other end, there are times when we hear from grandparents, or, you know, I'll talk to a lost parent and they'll say, well, can my mom talk to you? So I think, you know, we can kind of help the whole family, or listen to the whole family, or provide some resources to the whole family. Because I hear the other side of it, you know, they'll say, well, I do, my support system is a few friends and my mom, but I feel like they're getting tired of hearing from me, you know, like, so I need to, I try to spread it around and not, you know, get all my support from one person. So hopefully we can be that for them, or we can connect them with our peer support program so they can have one other person kind of outside their normal support system that they can lean on. But it's encouraging for me when I can get more than just one lost parent involved in the support journey. So,
yeah, I can see that. So speaking about what this means to you, this is obviously some pretty heavy work, and you're welcomed into some really heartbreaking situations and stories on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. How have you learned to do that with compassion without it putting you into a really, really bad place for yourself?
I feel really honored to listen to these stories and to hear about these babies. It's almost like, and I don't mean this in a spiritual or religious way, but I feel like it's holy work, and it's sacred space to be able to share that with families and to give them the opportunity to talk about their loss. I learned from my mother, my youngest brother was killed in a car accident when he was 14 years old. And the one thing, one of many things, but the one really important thing I learned from my parents was how important it was for them to have the opportunity to talk about Darren and to say his name and for other people to be able to say his name. So it's sacred work. And if I can give people the opportunity to be in that space with them, if they're willing to join me in that space or allow me into that space, I'm honored to do it. And there are times when it's pretty heavy. And, I often, when I meet people and they say, "So what do you do?" I pause for a minute and think, "Do you really want to know what I do?" And sometimes it's like, "Oh, end of conversation. I don't really want to hear about that." But it's holy work. It's sacred. And I can find a way to compartmentalize, I guess, and to leave that where it is. And yeah, I just feel very honored to be listening and giving people that opportunity to talk.
Well, clearly it's something that we are so grateful for what you do as a team here at Star Legacy. And we hear from so many families that are grateful for what you do. It feels wrong to even be asking you about some of these experiences and stories, because it is such a special place that you're welcomed into. But I think we'd be missing a huge opportunity, because with the number and the types of families that you talk to every single week, I think you really can offer the rest of us a window into that experience that is unique, and certainly something that, as you said, we can all always be improving, and hopefully we can learn from that. Mm-hmm. So just wanted to finish with what kind of, for those of us from on the outside looking through the window, what general suggestions do you have for families that are beginning this process, and also for, whether it be health professionals or extended family or anyone in a capacity that's wanting to better support a family that we know that is going through a loss? What advice or what have you learned from these families that you could share with us?
I think that we shouldn't try to fix things. That's very top of mind, is just to allow them to be wherever they're at. Listen to them. People are so afraid of making someone cry. And the thing I hear over and over from parents is, I'm on the verge of crying all the time anyway. And you mentioning my baby's name isn't going to make a difference, isn't going to mean, it's like, I haven't forgotten that my baby died. You're not reminding me that my baby died. So that certainly is one thing. And I think just being with them, tell me about your baby. And how are you doing? What's your support system look like? And giving them the opportunity to say, "I'm not ready." But certainly just not ignoring it, I think. And it's the parents have taught me a lot. And I think just even if we don't know the answer, saying, "I will try to find it. We'll get back to you about that." Maybe there isn't an answer. Maybe we can't figure it out. But walking alongside them, not letting them down, not getting, saying you're going to do something and not getting back to them, I think is probably one of the worst things we can do, because they've already been let down. So just following through, following and seeing what they need, what their needs are.
And what advice would you have for a new lost family?
To just take a minute, take a beat, see where you're at. You know, there's no rush for anything. Don't let anybody push you into a decision you don't want to do. It's your decision how you want to honor your baby. There's no right or wrong. There just is. And there are a lot of people out there that are willing to support you. There are more people out there willing to support you than there are those that are not. So if we can help you find them, you know, that's our goal. Continue to talk about their baby.
Well, that's amazing. Thank you so much, Denise. This has been really, really insightful and really powerful. And I think it hopefully helps us all recognize that there's, as you mentioned, always, always room for improvement, but so much that we can learn from these families as well. And I thank you for the amazing work that you do with these families. And thank you for choosing to honor your brother and your grandson and so many other babies in this really special way. So thank you for the time today, and thank you for all your hard work.
Yeah, you're welcome.
That's all for this episode of the Stillbirth Matters podcast, presented by the Star Legacy Foundation. Contact us at info@starlegacyfoundation.org to share feedback, request support, or suggest topics or guests for future podcast episodes.